We're back at the National Association of Farm Broadcasters Trade Talk in Kansas City, and I am talking right now with Thad Lively from the U.S. Meat Export Federation. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Dustin.
All right, so we are here at Trade Talk, the election now behind us. TPP is one of the things that is on everybody's mind. Are we going to try to get it pushed through in a lame duck session, or are we going to try to work with the new administration?
Well, I guess I have to admit, like most of us, I don't know the answer to that question, but obviously it's something of great interest and great concern to us and to the industry generally. I do know this, an awful lot of things get said in the course of a political campaign, and sometimes it's best just to wait and see how things play out. But I would have to admit that right now, based on some of the things that have been said by the leadership, Republican leadership in the Congress, it looks unlikely that they will bring TPP up for a vote during the lame duck.
I know that was one thing that was talked about. Both candidates didn't really seem to be in favor of the TPP. What is it going to take to bring them, President-elect Trump around when the next administration comes into power?
Well, again, that's a bit of a mystery to me. With Clinton, it was at least clearer what her complaints or disagreements were about, so that made it more plausible to find a way forward to final adoption. With Trump, it seems to me a more general view towards trade and trade agreements. So I think, again, we'll have to wait and see if some specific issues with the TPP emerge. And then, obviously, it'll be a question of whether the other members, the other 11 countries that are involved in that process, have an interest in sitting down and pulling apart what is an incredibly complicated agreement and seeing if they can find a way to put it back together again.
I know some of the countries that are involved said, no, we're leaving it as it is. We've given enough. We've compromised enough. And now I believe Japan has already started putting some of the pieces in motion already, correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I had a note overnight saying the lower house of their legislature had actually passed TPP. So today or yesterday. So clearly the Japanese have decided we're going to move forward. We're going to do our best to lock this in. And honestly, I would expect to see the other countries do the same thing. I mean, let's face it, they've used up an awful lot of political capital to get to where we are. And so my guess is that they're going to want to be in wait and see mode too. I mean, clearly this agreement is a lot more significant if it includes the United States than if it doesn't. So they're not going to want to do anything to send a signal to the U.S. that we don't want you guys in this. Clearly they do. I think it's just a question of how that happens and what concessions they would be asked to make and whether they're ones that, in balance, work for them.
One thing that got brought up, I know last year at Trade Talk when we were first talking about TPP a little more in depth, was if the U.S. isn't at the table, China certainly would love to be. And so that's one of the things. We don't want to lose any more market shares to China, and we don't want China controlling some of these trade agreements.
No, it's a totally valid point. I mean, you'd rather talk about what the good things are that come with TPP, but let's be honest, without it, we can identify some pretty clear negatives. And that's one of them. And China has started a process of negotiating a trade agreement. I wouldn't call it a free trade agreement from what we know about it. There aren't many specifics right now. But yeah, they're trying to do the same thing the U.S. was trying to do with TPP. They're trying to pull most of the economies in the region closer to theirs. They're already moving that direction anyway, just because of the basic economic forces. So there's that out there. And in our case, specifically, as you probably know, Australia already has a free trade agreement with Japan. And under that agreement, their duties, the tariffs they pay on their beef going into Japan, are 10 percentage points less than what we pay. Now, TPP would have trued that up, but as long as there's uncertainty about TPP, Australia is going to continue to benefit from this big tariff advantage, and we're going to be waiting to see what happens to TPP.
That's one thing that I know got brought up. I know someone said, well, that are naysayers about this have said that, we got to find better avenues to use our trade, a surplus and all that. It's going to affect the jobs and stuff. But What it comes down to is we've got to realize that there are other countries out there that have got better agreements than us, and if we don't do something, we're going to keep losing that market share and continue having that trade surplus.
No, I think you're exactly right, and TPP was and I think continues to be our best opportunity to do that with Japan, which in the case of the meat industry continues to be the most important export market we have in the world. So TPP was honestly an opportunity that I didn't think I would see. The fact that the United States was able to do a trade agreement with Japan that was going to bring clear benefits to beef and pork industries in particular was a wonderful thing. And so our industry has been a huge supporter of TPP, and I'm sure we will continue to be.
And that's one thing I know when I talk with the Minnesota Farm Bureau, they always said, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on the ag side of it, but this is an agreement that reaches beyond ag to all the industries in the United States, and that's something they're trying to make that point across. It's not just an ag-centric, you know, agreement.
Well, and that's absolutely the case, and as the administration has argued over and over again, this agreement really does plow new ground. It includes provisions that are included in no other trade agreement in existence today. So it was a very ambitious undertaking, and as with any agreement, there's a carefully fine-tuned balance there. And you start talking about changing something over here, it has reverberations that move all the way across, both in terms of the other countries that you're negotiating with and building support for it back here in the U.S. So it's always true. There's always a temptation to say, let's go back and improve on what we have. But a lot of times you're kind of opening a Pandora's box when you do that.
Well, Mr. Lively, I appreciate you taking the time to visit with us about trade and taking the time to visit with our listeners today.
Great, Dustin. Thank you.
All right, that's Thad Lively with the U.S. Meat Export Federation here on the Farm Show. We'll be back from Kansas City after this.